You don't drink coffee. That's upsetting.
I do not. I don't hate it. I just don't drink it.
I'm on my second one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Talks. Jackie doesn't like me, so she didn't want to do an episode with me today. So I called on the trivia king of State College. I hopped on his podcast. Now he's coming on ours. It is Kyle. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well. I'm hurt that Jackie doesn't want to come on with you. It hurts my heart to hear that.
Yeah, it is what it is. She just doesn't like it today. Not feeling it.
Well, I love you, Alex, so don't worry.
Oh, I really appreciate that, man. I really do. I'm kidding. Jackie's on vacation. Needed a little bit of time off. But either way, I still have an amazing guest, and I think everyone listening is going to love talking to Kyle. So I just want to get started with nice, easy softball and how you got interested in the radio industry.
Yeah. So I grew up in Connecticut. I grew up 15 minutes from ESPN in Bristol. So I was around ESPN sports radio for my entire life. Well, I'm family friends with Chris Berman. Anyone who knows ESPN, he's pretty much God for everyone. And yeah, he is me as well. I love him. I love Chris. And I just knew I wanted to do something sports wise. I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster. That was always the thing I wanted to do. And that was why I went to Syracuse, where I then the first week found this radio station called WJPZ, which gave me this very nice ball I have here. And I joined it and said, you know what? I don't want to do that whole TV thing and broadcaster thing. I want to just do radio and talk for a living and have fun doing it. And I joined the radio station fall of 2018, my freshman year of college, went through it for 2 years. COVID happened, became the GM over the summer of COVID, like the general manager of the station. And then for 2 years, my last 2 years of college, did that and then graduated and came down here the Thursday after I graduated from Syracuse for an interview. And the rest is history. And I've been at State College ever since.
It's amazing. That's a cool story. See, like,
it's a fun story.
Growing up, I never thought sports broadcasters or radio personalities were like a real job that I could get. I thought it was like movie star. Like, it's not something that you can just go to school and do. I never knew that until I transferred twice and found my third school where I figured out I could do it.
I didn't know it either. And then my mother, the summer of 2014, we were driving across the country to California to swap cars with my sister, which is a whole thing. And on the way there, the Cavs were in talks to trade for Kevin Love from the Timberwolves. They traded Andrew Wiggins in the first overall pick for him, whatever that was, the package. And the entire time over there, it was, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? We get there to California. They trade him. And then we're visiting our cousins out there as well as my sister. And at this table, it's a bunch of the cousins and some of their friends that are there because they're adults and they can do that stuff. And they're talking about this trade. And little Kyle interrupts them and goes, well, there's this, this, and this is a factor into why the trade's being done. Talked about it with them. When we got back from California, my mom goes, I know you're a freshman in high school, but like, you're going to go to college for journalism. And I said, what do you mean, Mom? She said, I don't care what you're saying. This is what you're going to do. And I did.
That's really cool. I never heard any like radio person's story like that. Normally people just kind of fall into it.
I got forced in by Andrew Wiggins.
Next, I kind of want to know what your radio experience has been like since you got into it full time.
It has been all I wanted it to be and more. That I didn't really know what I was getting into being a full-time radio personality. I think that college and professional life are very different because I now get paid to do this job. And back in the day, I did not get paid to do it. I just did it for fun in college.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I've been here and everyone is very welcoming, even though I am young and you're young and it's not something a lot of people our age are doing. And it's just been fun. Like, I get to go to different events and do different things and talk to people and give listeners awesome prizes. And I've been able to go to Penn State games and do the post game show for that. And it's not something I ever thought I'd do. I always wanted to do a post game, pregame show for a sports team. What team that was, up to you, the Saints, Yankees, Knicks, whoever. And now I get to do it for Penn State. And it's one of those weird things that I was like, I'll never do this. But I did it because of radio. And I never thought I'd be in this position. And it's truly been a marvelous journey.
Yeah. Since I got into a full time too, it's been night and day from college radio where you pretty much can go on and do your own thing and do whatever you want and what feels right. Now it's a little different, but it's still pretty much what I hoped it would be.
Exactly.
So both of us are young people in radio. What would you say are some of the biggest things changing about the industry that we're going through and we're seeing and bringing to the table as opposed to what people have been in this industry for years have been doing?
Well, I think the big one is that you need to find new ways to reach listeners. And best way to, as anyone pretty much will tell you, is social media. And you look and see what Josh Brubaker, aka Brew, did with TikTok during COVID when he exploded to extreme proportions and is now at Odyssey in LA working there. Like, social media is the platform that we know because we grew up with it. Like, I was on Instagram when it was the old icon. I was on Snapchat when you used to be able to see the person's most Snapchat.
Yeah, their best friends.
Their best friends. And it caused all of these drama things in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was 100%. Like, oh my gosh, why are you Snapchatting her, Kyle? Huh? Aren't we together? And I was like, I was talking to her for a school project, but no one cares. Like, that, we grew up with that stuff though. And when Twitter actually was Twitter, not X.
Yep.
And it's very different. And we had Vine and all these things where a lot of people that are in the older generation don't have the same understanding of, because we have been on it and raised on it. So we know how it works and how it functions on a different level than someone who's trying to learn it as someone who is, let's say, 45. It's different. It's very different.
So as us young DJs start taking the reins of all these stations, do you think that terrestrial radio is going to basically boom and stick around and be a huge part of the daily life of listeners still? Or do you see us more taking radio into the podcast, digital, social media realm more?
I think it can go anywhere. I've had this thought in my head because when I was graduating college, I was looking into both radio and podcasting. Those are the two areas I was looking at. And to some extent, I understand why people may say, oh, but radio's dying. It's a dying medium, all these things. The only reason that you know what a top 10 hit is because of radio, that we a lot of the times not decide, but can kind of decide how top hits work. And now you look at what UMG is doing, Universal Media Group, pulling their artists off of TikTok. That is a huge platform where a lot of artists this past couple of years have boomed and exploded. And then we play their stuff on radio and it sticks. That, yes, like Spotify, Apple Music, these platforms are growing, they're big, but radio gives you the real actual inside information as to what is big, what is not. Like when an artist releases a single, we're the ones who get to then build it up. Taylor Swift, Midnight's album. The first single was Antihero. Major, big. Second one was Lavender Haze. Same thing. The third one was Karma. Same thing. That's just how it works. And you need radio to have the music industry be what it is, or it would just be people releasing albums and no one knowing what an actual hit is anymore. Because you see when they release these albums, a Billboard or someone else put out like, oh, look at that. The top 8 songs on this thing are all Drake songs. And that's great. I love Drake. But you very much so know out of the 14 songs on his album, 8 of these songs are not number one. One of them is. The rest are just kind of there existing. And radio is the one who kind of decides what goes where and what expands where. And so I do think the air quotes terrestrial radio, what I say is just radio in general, will survive, will go better moving forward, because also we're personalities. Like people watch Good Morning America, people watch the Today Show because of who's on it. They listen to us because they love us. I don't get why anyone would love listening to me because I'm a bumbling buffoon, but here nor there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do think that country radio still holds true mostly to how radio used to work when it comes to the music industry. Pop radio and rock radio may be a little more of a mix between the digital medium and regular radio that we do all the time. But for the most part, I agree 100%. But yeah, country radio, especially from my experiences working in Tampa, Florida, country radio is still, the labels are bringing new artists to the station to meet the DJs and the music director and all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm on board and I'm along for the ride wherever this industry takes me.
Oh, completely agree. I'm here for the ride. I'm having fun. And people are like, oh, radio's dying, TV's dying quicker, which is not something I really want to say because I have a lot of friends that work in TV and work in TV broadcasting. But we're both in kind of the same boat in terms of people think it's a dying medium, but it's not. You kind of need it for everyday life.
Yeah. And like cable's actually making a comeback because mm-hmm. streaming is so expensive now.
Exactly.
Streaming used to be a cheaper option and now it's not, which is the problem.
Mm-hmm. And places like Spotify are more expensive, Apple Music and all these things. And yes, you can listen to the songs you want to. It's great. It's cool. It's awesome to have. But if you listen to the same 120 songs or so on your playlist, because everyone kind of does, mm-hmm. you're not going to find new stuff. Artists like have to get big somehow, and the best way is through five letters, RADIO.
Exactly. 100%. Everyone listen to Kyle. He's so smart. A lot smarter than I am.
Stop it, you.
So besides the whole like music thing and new music stuff, what are some of your favorite parts of just being on air?
Talking to listeners. Number one is talking to listeners. We had the honor of giving away tickets to see Drake here in State College, and we gave away tickets to be on the floor for a Drake concert. Anyone who knows buying floor tickets in general for a concert, they're crazy expensive. They're things that like it'll cost you an arm and a leg to get. And we got to give away tickets and we did an in-person drawing, and this man had to come in for his wife because she was sick, and she ended up winning. And so I was talking with the husband. The wife hadn't been alerted yet. And I said, could we call her and get the call recorded? And he was like, honestly, yes, let's do it. So we came into the studio and I got to call her and say, hi, is this Alec? I forgot what her name was. And she said, yes, it is. She said, is this Kyle? And I was like, yes, ma'am, it is. She's like, oh my gosh, why are you calling me? Like, cause she knew my name. I didn't even get to say who I was yet. I'm mm-hmm. like, yep, I'm calling you because I'm here with your husband. And I said, he's here because he wanted to talk about Drake. And then I got to like string her along until I said, well, what would you think about going to see Drake on the floor? And she just started hysterically crying, laughing, saying, no way, no way, no way. And it's one of those things you get to do where we get to interact with real people and just have fun and talk to them. And they're listening to us because they like us and want to be our friends. And also we get to give them things sometimes like Drake tickets, which are really cool, and experiences that, like, let's say it's a $500 ticket, you're going, there's two of them, it's $1,000. Like, I can't afford that. Many people in this place can't, like, no one can afford those tickets. So it's one of those things we get to give stuff like that away to yeah. people who normally can't get it, and they get to go and just have fun for a night. And she just said thank you a million times, and her husband did as well. And it was just fun. And it's things like that, talking to listeners, that brings me the most joy as a radio host.
So looking through your bio on your website, had to do a little research on that. Mm-hmm. What draws you to so many different kinds of music? It's insane the way you described it, of going from Taylor Swift all the way over to British rap. Where are you drawing yourself into all these different music styles?
A lot of time in my life, and I'll admit it, I've been a follower in a lot of my friend groups and in my family life and stuff, that I have a big brother and I follow him on everything he does. It's just the having a big brother effect. And mm-hmm. whenever we'd get in the car when I was younger, my brother and dad would cover up whatever the digital screen was and say, name the song, name the artist. Every single rock song. They'd only play rock, 99.1 PLR in Connecticut. I still listen to the station when I go home, and they'd always play it and say, name the song, name the artist. And then my sister would do that with me with 2000s artists. So I had to know TLC. Like, I had to. It was just part of my life, part of my growing up. And then I became a fan of different YouTubers who are from England, the Sidemen, and they love British rap. And so I started listening to British rap. And then as I got older, I said, I also enjoy R rap. I love Kendrick Lamar. Eminem is my favorite artist of all time. I love M. And then as I got older, I said, I love listening to Big Time Rush when they were on Nickelodeon. I loved them back in the day. Stuff like that. And it's just, I don't differentiate between who's good and who's bad. If I like you, I like you. If I don't, that's okay. Not my taste, but I will listen to pretty much anything except for maybe like gospel. That's about it.
Yeah. And I mean, Jackie loves Big Time Rush too. So I get
they are amazing. And sitting next to me here, he's at my desk, is, and we found this in the station, is their original album, Still Sealed. So I have it here at all times because it's the best.
Yeah. I mean, Big Time Rush is awesome. But I saw on your Instagram that you had proposed, I would assume, to the Jonas Brothers. How'd that go? Did they say yes?
Nick Jonas sadly did not say yes. Neither did Fetty Wap. Neither of them said yes to Myna McQueen's proposals. But we'll try next year. We'll try next year. Bianca Chopra Jonas has me beat currently. So,
I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
But I do hear rumors and rumblings that you are indeed a Swiftie. Is this claim true?
Those are not rumblings, sir. That is the cold, hard truth. Okay. I am a Swiftie through and through. I am not the same level as the crazy Swifties who know everything all the time. I am a Swiftie, however, who loves Taylor Swift and her music and everything she does with her life because she is Taylor Swift and she is the best. So yes, it is true.
And so how are you feeling about all this attention with Taylor and Travis?
I'm here for it. I do think it's gotten a little bit out of hand, and I think they would completely agree with it. Like Travis, as Jason Kelce said on the big podcast with Shaq and Adam Lefkoe, like Travis had to move houses because of Swifties. And the first night he was in his new house, someone somehow got into his gated community in the back garden and knocked on his window because they wanted to see if Taylor was there. So it's getting a little bit crazy, but part of it is that Taylor's never dated someone and been like out in the public all the time. And now she is. And she's also doing the biggest tour the world has ever seen. And it's like literally the biggest tour worldwide. It's probably going to double up the next biggest one, which I believe is Elton John. She's a global superstar. She's a phenom. And I kind of get it.
Yeah. And I saw all the little conspiracies revolving around the number 13 with the Super Bowl. And I was like, this sounds like a stretch. And then the Chiefs won. And I'm like, this is really weird. This is really weird. Things just kind of happen.
If the NFL was going to rig the Super Bowl, they shouldn't have done it with the team that is got the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and literally won last year's Super Bowl. Like, pick a team that's not good and then rig it that way.
I feel like if it was going to be rigged, it would probably be somebody with like next generation superstar, like the Texans being CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. I really think if they were going to rig something for someone, it would be them. But I don't know. And a lot of people have said that it's rigged so that way Taylor Swift could be a part of the ceremonies and everything. It doesn't make sense because I don't think the NFL is trying to hone in an audience of females under 21. I don't think that's who they're really aiming at. They're not trying to grow that audience that much. So I don't think rigging it so Taylor Swift could win the Super Bowl as if she had anything to do with the game would do anything.
Oh, clearly she did. Clearly,
she caught that one touchdown in the fifth quarter. You know, yes. So that makes sense. No, I don't get it. But moving away from music a little bit, what sparked this idea for this trivia show that I came on and absolutely dominated?
So it is. You did dominate. You did very well, and I'll probably have you back on it for a tournament of champions at some point. But the reason I love trivia, and I'll pull it up to show you, is my family, when I was growing up, we did trivia stuff all the time. Hence the name, the song, and the artist. We also. So every night at dinner, we'd eat at 7 o'clock and would watch Jeopardy every single night. So I have a little Funko Pop of Alex Trebek literally sitting on my desk because I love Trebek. I miss him every day because Jeopardy is our thing. And my family has always stated we're the best trivia team if you put the four of us together, and fifth if you have my dad as well. We cover every topic really well. And because of that, I always want to do trivia. I did a little trivia show when I started radio, a segment I did one question every day. And then I wanted to do a podcast of trivia, and I said four questions. I listened to The Dozen, which is from Barstool Sports, and I loved their trivia, and I kind took elements from a bunch of shows, combined them into one amalgamation, which is Trivia Time with Kyle, which is four questions, which you did very well with.
Yeah. And I mean, my next question, I think I probably could answer for you now. And that's, how are you so knowledgeable on everything? And I would assume it's pretty much Jeopardy and your family being so knowledgeable in every aspect as well.
Yeah. Jeopardy, my family being knowledgeable, growing up with siblings who taught me all about the 90s and 2000s. And then just, I retain knowledge in a weird way. Like I can't study to save my life in college, in high school, and in general, I could not study. Couldn't do it. Impossible for me to do. But if you asked me to like recite you 10 different things that happened in 2012, I could, because my memory is weird and it feeds, it does, my memory does trivia well.
That's pretty solid though. I mean, if you can hang on to the little things that help you get through trivia games, that's all that matters.
Bingo.
My dad's pretty solid with trivia too. We play, I forget the game. It's like a trivia game with each generation has questions. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it right now. But we play that, and we play everyone at the table versus my dad, and he will still win. We even gave him a nickname growing up, and we called him stupidstats.com because he knew so many like random dumb things. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he could do it now because we haven't done a whole lot of trivia recently, but at one point, I'm pretty sure you could ask him who's 20th all time for home runs in the MLB, and he would know with the exact number of home runs. And I'm like,
crazy.
I don't know how he does it. But going back to your bio a little bit, you mentioned that you're a binger of New Girl.
I am a binger. I am.
Is there anything else you're binging other than New Girl?
Currently, I am on a bit of an anime kick. I am right now binging. I did One Piece. I caught up on all 1,100 episodes that are released so far. I'm currently watching Hunter x Hunter and am looking forward to more series dropping soon for me to then watch. I watch too many shows all the time. Invincible Season 2 Part 2 is coming out in a month, and I will be watching that very intently.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Very much so.
Yeah. So getting towards the end here, a while back, Jackie and I did a episode on trends, and you mm-hmm. made a brief cameo via the cell phone discussing the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. Do you seriously think that guys out there are just casually thinking about this, or was it more so the trend that sparked a whole lot of people actually thinking about the Roman
Empire? I do think at least Greek or Roman, I think we think about it more often than we want to.
So some form of ancient empires are thought of frequently.
Ancient mythology is thought about a lot. Either Greek, Roman, Norse, pick one, pick your poison. It's thought about quite often.
What is your dream in this radio industry as we get towards the end of our time together?
Oh boy.
Your dream job. What do you want the most out of this industry?
My dream job would be to host a pregame and postgame show from the World Cup. Always has been. I think
that would be sick.
It used to be Super Bowl, but the World Cup has overtaken it. So
the World Cup is so awesome. Mm-hmm. Man, I really appreciate you spending time with me, man. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me on, man. I'm always happy to join.
And finally, anyone listening to this show that wants to listen to your trivia shows, your show on the air, how can they do so?
I'm on the airwaves. It's Pop Radio. Look that up. In the App Store, on our app, in the iHeartRadio app, itspopradio.com, or look up It's Pop Radio on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, and catch me from 3 to 7 p.m. every single day of the week. And you can also look me up, Kyle F., on social media. I'm everywhere. I'm my first and last name because I changed it when I got professional. I said, let me do first and last name because I'm cool like that.
yeah, you are. All right. Thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Thank you all so much for listening to Pop Talks, another amazing episode with a fabulous guest that we're going to have on again. I promise. I'm working on something pretty awesome, and it's going to be a dope show with Jackie here, hopefully, as well. But you can also listen to every episode of Pop Talks that you have missed or haven't listened to yet on our website, popradiopa.com. Follow us on socials at popradiopa.com or at popradiopa. There's no .com in our social handles. You know what I meant, everyone. Relax. I made a mistake. It's okay. I will talk to you all again next week. Goodbye. I love you.
Bye.